Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson, and a very happy holiday season wherever you are listening from. In a moment, we're going to do a deep dive into national security, a topic we don't talk about that much here on the Issue Is. We went to the Reagan National Defense Forum and talked to some of the biggest, smartest minds in that space. But we begin with Robert Garcia, who we first have gotten to know over the last few years as mayor of Long Beach. Now he's heading to Congress as a member of Congress from Long Beach. He's also the freshman class president, and he just hired Nancy Pelosi's chief of staff. Not bad for the early days for the soon-to-be congressman from Long Beach. So here is Robert Garcia. Robert Garcia, congrats, and welcome to the Issue Is Set for the first time. Great to see you.
Happy to be here. Thank you so much.
All right, so freshman class president, what does that mean, and what does that mean for you to be there?
Well, I mean, we have a great class. It's 34 Democrats, obviously a big, large class of Democrats and Republicans, and I'm honored to represent them. It's a great group of people, teachers, attorneys, mechanics, a great representation of the country. And so I'll be representative to the leadership. We have new leadership coming in, of course, Leader Hakeem Jeffries for the Democrats. And so it's an honor to be selected, and I'm just going to work every day to ensure that they all get reelected.
I mean, was it sort of surreal for you to be at orientation, to be on the steps there, to be among all of this? What's it feel like?
No, it's very surreal. I mean, I'm an immigrant kid who grew up with not a lot. And so to be able to become a U.S. citizen, to go through this process, get elected mayor of my community, and then get elected to Congress is a huge experience. But when I think that only can happen here in this country.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned you're the first openly gay immigrant to serve in this role. And you're sort of having some fun with the openly gay portion of it in some of your social media tweets. So let's show some of these. We might call these troll calls. Here is one tweet. As a reminder, this will be me when I walk by Marjorie Taylor Greene in the Capitol next week at orientation. We've got another one. This is me meeting all the new Republican freshmen at orientation this morning. You're a big Superman fan. And then finally this one, me pre-post congressional freshman orientation. So having some fun with this, right?
Of course.
Hard to imagine some of the old, like Sam Rayburn tweeting that out or something. How do you see your role in terms of LGBTQ representation in this role?
I mean, listen, I'm gay. And so I like to have fun, and I tell people, like, you know, I do all my own social media, and I like to have fun and have a good time. It's part of my personality. And I think it's also important to speak to a new generation, and folks talk, you know, and speak through social media, through Twitter, through other avenues. And so I do it myself. I plan to continue doing it myself, and I plan to continue to troll Marjorie Taylor Greene as best possible. I think while it's lighthearted and funny, you know, I do take seriously that she wants to take roll back rights for gay people and LGBTQ plus people. So that's something that I take very seriously.
So you mean the staff isn't necessarily recommending those gifts?
Yeah, I think my staff probably is not crazy about all my tweets, but I'll continue to do so. And at the end of the day, and if I'm going to continue to call out Republicans that are, I think, harming this country, especially those that are against supporting gay people, I think we'll do it in a way that can speak to the most people.
Let's talk about another part of your background. Of course, you're an immigrant. You came here when you were 5 years old from Peru. And now there's a lot of talk about what to do about so-called Dreamers, which are people that came here as kids through no fault of their own, illegally, and whether to make them citizens or not. There's a bunch of proposals now being floated on the Hill, including some bipartisan proposals. What's the status on that, and what would you support?
Well, I mean, certainly I support getting something done in this lame duck session of Congress. That would be ideal. But at the end of the day, there's got to be a broader conversation around immigration. There's 10 to 11 million people here in this country that have no pathway to citizenship. And I think we've got to at least start by finding a pathway to those that there's consensus around. Do you think about people that have been in college, are dreamers, folks that have served in the military, that literally serve this country in uniform, that don't have a pathway to citizenship? I mean, those are, I think, our areas that we can all come to agreement on and should focus on first. Guest worker programs, we're hearing from companies, many of whom support Republicans, that are saying we need more workers within guest worker programs, whether it's in agriculture or whether it's in construction. And so I think those are areas that we should try to find agreement on and move forward first.
Is there a deal to get something done? Do you think there are the votes right now for a pathway to citizenship for Dreamers?
I hope so. I mean, I think I'm optimistic that there is. I think Democrats have got to be a little bit more forceful in getting it done. But I think there's enough Republicans that are out there that are willing to work with Democrats on this issue. The problem is that you have an extreme group of folks that want no deal whatsoever. And they literally want to remove every single person here that doesn't have full citizenship. And that's just not American. It's not what our country was based off of. This is a country still made up of immigrants. And so I'm hopeful that we'll come up with a resolution.
Of course, your mom was an immigrant from Peru.
Absolutely.
We talked a lot about her on this show. Unfortunately, you lost her and your stepfather during the early days of COVID.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how much you may be thinking about them and what they might think about this moment.
I think about them a lot, actually. I mean, I certainly, you know, being in Congress and being in the Capitol, I thought about her an enormous amount. She'll be with me when I get sworn in January. What I think about more is why they were here. They're here for the American dream, what they fought for working people. I mean, she was a healthcare worker. And so I think her legacy lives on in the work that we'll do in Congress. And never forget that we're still in a pandemic. We're still trying to recover. And so those are things I'll take with me. I'm very grateful. And the most important legacy she leaves for me is a strong, hardworking immigrant woman. And she fought for a pathway to citizenship for herself and for her kids. And I want to ensure that we provide that same opportunity that I got to other kids in this country.
Let's talk for a moment also about the issue of cryptocurrency.
Sure.
So there's this guy, Sam Bankman-Fried, who's gotten all this attention recently. He was with FTX. He basically was defrauding his investors. He's also a big donor to the Democratic Party. He donated to this group called Protect Our Future. According to the LA Times, he gave $27 million to that group. They gave you $1 million to your campaign, the biggest donor to your campaign. Do you think maybe you should give some of that money back? Or when you heard all this came from him, what went through your mind?
Yeah, I mean, just to be clear, I mean, I've never met him. So I don't know him. He obviously donated to campaigns across the country, and those were independent expenditure campaigns. And so that money that he gave, whether it was to me or other candidates, was through this dark money system that we have in this country where any individual person can donate to any candidate. I believe in public financing. I think those laws should change. I have no control over what he or any other person out in this country is going to spend money on these campaigns. I think it's outrageous that one person can spend so much money. And so I support reform, and I don't know him, but I do think the issue in front of us is serious. I don't have crypto. I don't know much about crypto, to be honest. But I look forward to reviewing this issue in Congress.
Well, I mean, what do you think it should happen in terms of crypto regulation, though?
Well, I think there needs to be regulation. I mean, I think at the end of the day, you have an unregulated market, essentially. And you're seeing what's happening, not just with this issue, but so many others where there is no stability. And so if digital currency is actually going to be an option in the future, and right now I think it is a unstable option, then we've got to make sure that there is actual tight regulations. You've seen some of that come out of the White House already. There will likely be some rules in Sacramento that will come out around cryptocurrency, and I support that.
Up next, we're going to have some fun talking about Long Beach, where you are currently the mayor. We're also going to talk about the holidays. Our guest this week currently serves as Long Beach mayor and is about to represent the LBC in the halls of Congress. And I'm sure a Snoop Dogg fan, too. Right?
In fact, that album, Doggy Style, is the first album I ever bought.
Okay.
So.
Robert Garcia is back with us. All right, before you depart for Washington, let's take a moment to talk about your current job,
sure.
Mayor of Long Beach. You're now sort of looking back. How do you see your legacy, and is there anything you're sort of most proud of for that time?
Well, I mean, first, I tell people all the time that Long Beach is a huge city. I think people don't realize that from a population perspective, it's similar than Atlanta, Georgia. It's got more people than Pittsburgh, Miami, New Orleans, and any other state. This would be like the largest city. So Long Beach is enormous, particularly here in Southern California. So it's been an honor to serve, as mayor. I think when I look back, I think the biggest emergency we had was the pandemic. We lost 1,300 people. The single largest emergency that we had as a city was the pandemic. And so I'm really proud of the community's response around that. But also, we spend more now on infrastructure and fixing streets than at any time in the last 50, 60 years through measures we put in front of voters. We've fixed schools. We've modernized our climate work. We raised wages. And in Long Beach, we actually raised the minimum wage before the state did. And so I'm proud of that work. I think we've had a progressive record in the city, but I also think that we've always centered people and tried to uplift people's rights. So I'm proud of the 8 years.
So you're leaving that job, you're going to the House of Representatives, but there are some people that are already starting to think about a potential next job, the United States Senate. Dianne Feinstein most likely on the way out, some people expressing interest. Congressman Adam Schiff already expressing interest. Any interest for you in that job potentially?
I look forward to rerunning for Congress in 2 years. And so I think there'll be a great group of candidates, I'm sure, for that seat. Obviously, we haven't heard yet from Senator Feinstein officially on what's happening, but we've got a great group of folks all across the state that I'm sure will run for that.
So that sounds like no interest?
Well, I mean, I plan on rerunning election for the U.S. House of Representatives.
Okay. All right. We play a game on this show called Personal Issues. This is where we put 30 seconds up on the clock and get to know some of your favorites. But because it is the holiday season, we thought it'd be fun to do some of your holiday favorites. Okay?
Sure.
You ready?
Yeah.
So first thing that comes to mind. Here we go. Ready? What is your favorite holiday movie?
Home Alone.
What is your favorite holiday food?
Mashed potatoes and gravy.
What is your favorite holiday tradition?
Opening presents at midnight, which is the tradition we've always done on Christmas Eve.
Okay. Do you have a favorite holiday song?
All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey.
do you have a favorite holiday look or outfit or something like that?
Ugly sweaters. Ugly Christmas sweaters, which I like to wear on Christmas Eve and Christmas. Yeah.
Okay, very nice. Well, we appreciate you coming in. Up next, we're going to take you to the Reagan National Defense Forum.
Our thanks to Robert Garcia. Now a very different topic, national security. We headed out to the Reagan National Defense Forum. Here's our report.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Then President Ronald Reagan famously asked then Russian leader Mikhail Gorbachev to tear down the Berlin Wall. Foreign policy was one of the key aspects of the former California governor's presidency. And this week, we were on hand as some of the top foreign policy minds from both parties gathered to honor Reagan and talk about the future.
I'm delighted to be here with an outstanding delegation from the Department of Defense.
U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin headlines the Reagan National Defense Forum. This also features Director of National Intelligence, Avril Haines.
Thank you for doing this, and let me just say thank you so much for inviting me.
This gathering at the Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley unites the country's top military minds, including Mac Thornberry, a former chair of the House Armed Services Committee.
It's the only place and only time you get government and industry and investment and think tanks all coming together to talk about the future of U.S. national security.
Leon Panetta is here. He represented California in Congress, served as Bill Clinton's White House Chief of Staff, and as Barack Obama's CIA Director and Defense Secretary.
What is the value of a day like today, the importance of having a gathering like this?
I think the most important thing is that it brings people from both parties, Republican and Democrat, brings people from the administration, brings people from industry together to talk about defense issues.
Republican Mike Garcia currently represents this area in Congress. Before that, he was a fighter pilot in the Navy.
National defense should be the great unifier, regardless of Democrat, Republican, you know, left versus right. We should all be focused on national security and our troops.
Garcia chats with Mark Esper, who served as the Secretary of the Army and Secretary of Defense under Donald Trump.
What do you see as the biggest national security issue right now?
Extremism in our country, from both sides, from both political extremes, too much partisanship.
This annual event began here at the Reagan Library in 2013. And not only does it bring political leaders together, it also takes the national media from Washington, D.C. to see these spectacular sights in Simi Valley.
It's a big thing for California, I think, to have this event.
Brett Baer hosts discussions here year after year. Before he began anchoring Special Report weeknights on the Fox News Channel, he was a field reporter specializing in national security issues.
Talk about what it's like covering the national security space.
Well, I think you have to be skeptical. I covered the Pentagon during the Iraq War, and there was a lot of consensus about the intelligence from both sides, left and right, and world leaders. But skepticism was lacking.
5 years ago, 70% of Americans said they had, quote, high confidence and trust in the military. Now it's down to 48%, according to the new Reagan National Defense Survey.
You have to get in there, some of that skepticism, and you have to ask tough questions.
That same survey shows that 75% of Americans now view China as an enemy. Ken Calvert is a Republican congressman from California. He will chair the House Appropriations Defense Subcommittee in January.
What do you see as sort of the biggest national security issue right now?
Well, China. China is, let's face it, is an adversary. They are very aggressive in the South China Sea. Obviously, we're worried about Taiwan.
When you look at the threat that China poses to Taiwan and the rest of the free world, frankly, it's a real existential threat.
Experts here say part of that threat includes an app that could be on your phone right now, TikTok.
It's a massive issue, and I've heard it probably four times, how you need to get your kids off TikTok. And these are Intel folks who see the data. China's collecting a lot of data to then turn it around and use it how they want to, and that's a big threat to us.
Another focus here, Russia's war against Ukraine.
I think the most important thing to focus on right now when it comes to defense is how to be able to take our alliance like NATO and make sure that we are able to stop Russia and to make the point that alliances work.
According to the Pentagon, the U.S. has committed nearly $17 billion in security assistance to Ukraine since January of 2021.
Do you think we need to spend more money or less money on that front?
Well, remember, not one U.S. soldier has lost their life in Ukraine. We have spent some money there, obviously, a substantial amount of money arming the Ukrainians to defend themselves, and they've done it quite well. They've destroyed over 3,000 Russian tanks, several thousand personnel carriers. And I don't celebrate this, but probably up to 30,000 Russians have been killed, 70,000 injured. And of course, the Ukrainian death and injuries are quite high also. But I think they're sending a message to Russia. You just cannot walk into an independent country and take it. If Russia would have succeeded as they planned to, they would have immediately taken Moldova, then the Baltics, and then put pressure on Romania and Poland. Mm. And so Putin's dream is to put together back what was the Soviet Union. And we needed to stop his aggression. All you need to think about is what the Germans did back in 1936. And we need to stop that now for they don't get the belief that they can get away with this.
There's also talk here about the future of U.S. troops.
Ready, one, two, three.
Esper, the former defense secretary, poses with ROTC members.
My message to them was to serve. Serve their country. You don't have to do it for career, but do it for 2-3 years, and you'll never regret it.
That Reagan National Defense Survey found only 13% of 18 to 29-year-olds are personally willing to join the U.S. military.
77% of today's youth are unfit to serve because they're overweight or have physical issues, health issues. And then of that, an even smaller percentage is disinclined to serve.
We have record low retention, record low recruitment right now on active duty. And I think we need to put more of a spotlight on that and really ask why. Why are people not joining the military?
Veteran Mike Garcia now works on the defense budget as a member of Congress and says we should increase pay for troops.
An enlisted soldier, when they first come in, they're making $21,000 a year, Alex. Mm. And this in a period where we have record high inflation, that equates to about $12 an hour. So an in-and-out worker, you know, here in Southern California is making $20, $22 an hour. But an E-1 or E-3 in the Army, Navy, Marines, they're making anywhere from $21,000 to $24,000 a year, which is shameful, frankly. We need to figure out how to do better.
Democrat Jimmy Panetta represents Monterey in Congress and says inflation is impacting our defense, too.
How we deal with inflation, how that affects our national security, how that affects our budgets, and also, to be frank, basically making sure that we in the United States Congress can pass a budget that takes into account inflation.
He's grateful that California gets to host this important discussion.
It's nice for us to have people to come to California. It's a lot nicer for them to come to California.
Throughout it all, the image of California's 33rd governor and America's 40th president is literally everywhere.
All of this conference takes place under the legacy of President Reagan and that peace through strength. And it's not partisan in the least bit, but still his legacy, his success, what he did for this country continues to inspire everybody that attends.
Our thanks to everybody at the Reagan Library for talking with us. What a privilege to talk to some of those very big names. Our thanks to Congressman-elect Robert Garcia for being with us, and Congressman Mike Garcia for being with us out at the Reagan Library as well. We got two Congressman Garcia for the price of one in this show. Next week, we're going to have Gloria Allred and Larry Elder back. They're great sparring partners. They're also great dancing partners. And we're excited to see both sides come together and fight. That should be a lot of fun. In the meantime, I'm Alex Michelson. Thanks so much for listening. And again, happy holidays.